Hello, this is Jim and Samantha. We pastor Abundant Life in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is a message from one of our services. We hope it inspires you, we hope it builds your faith, and we hope it helps you in your everyday life. Enjoy the message.
Now, why grace is the foundation of everything? Why grace is the foundation of everything? See, we got to understand grace because if we misunderstand grace, we misunderstand Christianity. If we misunderstand what grace is, we misunderstand our Christianity. See, grace is not a side doctrine. Grace is not a small theological idea. Grace is the foundation of our salvation. Grace is the foundation of our identity and our daily walk. If salvation was based on our effort, then the strongest could boast. They could boast about what they do. You know, if salvation was based on goodness and us doing good deeds, then the people that do good or moral in this world would be able to brag. If salvation was based on how much knowledge that we could obtain, then only the educated people would dominate. See, salvation is God's grace, so nobody can boast except in God. You know, God did it. God bought me from where I am. All right, since we're talking about grace, what is grace? Grace is God's unearned, undeserved favor toward us. Grace is God's unearned, undeserved favor toward us. See, mercy is God not giving us what we deserved, but grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. See, God have mercy on us when we messed up, and he didn't strike us down. He didn't punish us right then. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. God, I didn't deserve that goodness. I didn't deserve that, but God is grace. We didn't earn it. You can't buy it, okay? We don't qualify for it. Yet, God gives it to us freely. He gives us his grace freely. And first, I'd like to talk about our conditions, the condition we would be in without grace. Okay, and let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to go 1 all the way down through 9, but we're going to pause in between and make little points as we go. So Ephesians 2, we'll start out in 1. And Paul begins to describe who we were without grace. We'll start with 1 and 3. Once we were dead because of our disobedience and many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. So before grace, we were dead. And we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. Notice he didn't say we were weak. He didn't say we were struggling. He says we were dead. Dead people can't revive themselves. Dead people don't improve themselves. Without grace, we followed the world, we followed the flesh, and we were under judgment. So that levels the ground. So that means that religious people and the rebellious people both needed grace. We all need grace. See, grace only becomes amazing when you realize how desperate we were. I'm going to say it again. Grace only becomes amazing when we realize how desperate we were. See, if you're too holy, you're up here, you're too holy. That just went over your head. See, because when you look back on what God brought you from where you were then to where you are now, you can really appreciate his amazing grace. You really understand the words of the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You understand those words. His amazing grace. So without grace, we said that we were dead. We followed the world. We followed the flesh. And we were under judgment. Here's the good part. Now, let's look at verse 4. Verse 4. And y'all say these two words. These are the best two most powerful words in the scripture. Let's, in verse 4, those first two words, let's say those together in verse 4. Ready? But God. The two more, but God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we were reunited with Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy. We were dead, but God. We were enslaved to sin, but God. We were condemned, but God. Did you notice the source? Did you notice the source? It wasn't our effort. It wasn't how good we could fix ourselves up. And it definitely was not our promises. But God. Because his great love. See, grace flows from God's character. Not our performance. God is grace. You don't have to ask him to be, give me some grace. It's already provided. So God's grace gave our dead bodies life, freed us from sin and condemnation. Let's talk about what else grace does. Grace saves completely. We're going to stay right there in Ephesians 2. We're just going to go 5-9 in this passage. That even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point us in all future ages as example of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 8, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. See, by grace, we have been saved. By grace, we have been saved. So let's teach this carefully now. Number one, grace is the source. Grace is our source. Grace is God's initiative. It's given to us. Number two, faith is the means. Faith is the hand that receives the gift. So when you put your faith in Jesus, you just receive the gift of grace. Three, works are not the cause. You can't get grace through works. Okay, you can't get grace through works, only by faith. You know, Paul makes this real clear, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You know, if works saved us, then heaven would be full of pride. If works saved us, heaven would be full of pride. Have you ever talked to someone and you know, you got something good to say, but they got something better to say? Yeah. They always trying to one-up you. That's what heaven be like. Well, I saved 33 people. Well, you know, when I was on earth, I had 50 people saved. Then somebody, that ain't nothing. I had 100. That's what heaven would be like. Everybody trying to one-up everybody else. See, this aligns with Romans 3, 23 and 4. Let's go there real quick. This aligns with Romans 3, 23 and 24. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Freely. Freely. Okay, grace is like this. Let's say you're going to the bank to pay your first payment on your $20,000 loan. You get there, the clerk say, well, Mr. Nixon, you don't owe us anything. Somebody paid it in full. Y'all shout. That's the same thing with grace. Jesus paid it in full. He paid it in full. Thank you, God. That's what Jesus did for us. We didn't do anything to earn it. And I'm not picking on any religion, but we don't have to do any Hail Marys for it. God gave it to us freely. So Ephesians 2 and 8, I'm just going to give you the short version. For by grace you have been saved through faith, so no man can boast. Not works, not by performance, not by reputation. Okay? If we could earn salvation, grace would not be grace. It wouldn't be grace. You cannot work your way to heaven. When you get to those pearly gates, God is not going to ask you about your works. You can't go in there, God, I did this, I did that for you. It's not by works. I was a good person. It's not by works. You cannot impress God. I mean, he created heaven. Streets made of gold. I don't see any gold sidewalks or streets out here. You can't impress him. He got mansions. He just simply say, receive. Just receive. And grace is God's idea, not ours. You know, from the very beginning, grace was God's plan. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, God could have ended humanity right there. But instead, he covered them. That was grace in action. And throughout the scripture, we can see his grace. God chose Abraham, not because he was perfect. Abraham stuttered, but he was supposed to go to Pharaoh and, you know, talk him into letting his people go. And he stuttered. God used Moses, even with his flaws. He killed an Egyptian soldier, but God used him. God restored David after his failure. He committed adultery. God still used him. God redeemed Peter after denying him three times. So God's grace abounds for everyone. Everyone. No matter what. Now, the greatest display of gift of grace is found in John 1, 14. Let's go and read that. John 1 and 14. God demonstrates his greatest gift of grace. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, grace has a name, and it's Jesus. Grace has a name, and it's Jesus. See, the scripture says, first part of the scripture says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the word that became flesh. Now, if I hadn't got you to shout yet, I'm going to get you to shout on this one. Grace meets us at our worst. Grace meets us at our worst. Let's look at Romans 5 and 8. Romans 5 and 8. Grace meets us at our worst. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God commanded his love for us. Go ahead. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It didn't say when we get ourselves cleaned up, when we get all religious, we can get grace. Or when we kick those habits, we can get grace. It said while we were still sinners. Grace does not wait for perfection. It meets us in our brokenness. It does not wait for us to get perfect. Grace abounds for everyone. Another thing grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. You know, when Paul struggled, God told him in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, my grace is sufficient for you. Sufficient in weakness. Sufficient in failure. Sufficient in the struggle. It's sufficient in loss. You may feel inadequate at times, but just remember this, God's grace is enough. God's grace is enough. If you're a parent, grace is enough for them parenting stresses that you may have. You got bills, grace is enough for the financial pressure. Grace is enough for those aging bodies, thank you, Lord. Grace is enough for past regrets. Thank you, Lord. And this is the good part. God's grace is not a one-time event. His grace is not a one-time event. It's a daily supply. It's new every morning. God's grace is new every morning. It's a daily supply. Now, the grace of God doesn't just forgive us. It changes us. It should transform us. Let's just take a look at Paul. He persecuted Christians. He persecuted Christians, threw them in jail, beat them up, killed them. But after an encounter with Christ, grace transformed him into a preacher of the gospel. He wrote most of the New Testament. God's grace doesn't just pardon our past, it empowers our future. He forgave Paul and empowered him to advance the kingdom of God through grace. Now, I do want to conclude with some dangers of forgetting grace. There's two dangers of forgetting grace or not understanding grace. The first is legalism. That's trying to earn what was given freely. Okay, we've already established that you can't earn grace, it's given. The second is license. That means using grace as a permission to sin. That's not what grace is about. Paul addresses this in Romans 6, 1 and 2. Let's turn there. So a license is you trying to use grace as a permission to sin. Paul says in Romans 6, 1 and 2, well then, should we keep on sinning that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? So, yes, God has this abundance of grace, but that doesn't give us a license to sin. You can't continue to practice sinning and say that you are saved. Grace is there for when we mess up. Don't get me wrong. It's there for when we mess up. But it's not for us to practice to keep receiving God's wonderful, wonderful grace. True grace teaches us holiness. Teaches us holiness. As Titus 2, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 says, in Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. 13, while we look forward with hope to the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing what is good. So the grace of God trains us to put away ungodliness. And grace is not passive. It's not just something that we dismiss or, oh yeah, I know we got grace. Grace should discipline us. It should shape us and it should mature us. So I end with these three questions and just think about them as I ask. No show of hands. Are you trying to earn what God already offers freely? In your mind, are you thinking, I got to be good? That's the goal. That's what we want to do because of grace. But it's already offered. It's already given. Are you living in guilt when grace has already forgiven you? And have you received the gift of grace? Grace is not something you achieve. Grace is someone you accept, and that someone is Jesus, God's gift of grace.
Thanks for joining us. We encourage you to share this message with your family and friends. Please check us out on our website at abundantchurch.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.